This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Thursday morning edition of After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb in for A-Law. We have Chris Thomas producing this extravaganza, and Dave Ettinger is running the board. We're all coming to you live, by the way, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You can interact with me via two ways. Way number one, call me at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or you could follow me and shoot me your thoughts via the good old cesspool of Twitter. At Zach Gelb is where you could find me. Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Steve Berline, the former NFL quarterback, is going to join us in 2 hours from now at 4 a.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Zach Gelb, in for A-Law. Okay, we have to start with the biggest story in the sports world, and that's Antonio Brown. Let me catch you up to speed, just in case if you missed some of the details or if you need a little bit of a refresher. As you know, after an offseason where he was traded from Pittsburgh to Oakland, and in Oakland it was filled with a lot of drama, whether it was the cryotherapy with the frostbite from his feet or what helmet he would wear, and then the fight with Mike Mayock that led to his guaranteed money being voided and a fine being levied of excess of $200,000. The Oakland Raiders finally, after Antonio Brown via social media requested his release, said, "We're going to grant you that and we're going to cut you." It didn't take that long. New England jumped in. According to some reports, other teams were interested. AB said, "I'm going to join the New England Patriots." Got about $9 or $10 million guaranteed. Can earn up to $15 million total on the contract in year one through incentives. So AB, we were waiting for his first official practice, which was yesterday. We were debating, will this last in terms of the distraction that he could become and the distraction that he has been? But really, we were thinking the distractions, even though they were important, they pale in comparison to what did develop on Tuesday, where on Tuesday night, I'm actually sitting at the Mets game as the Mets were on their way to defeating the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I'm perusing my phone, and I see an alert that Antonio Brown on Tuesday night had a civil lawsuit filed against him where Brown is accused of assaulting his ex-trainer on three separate occasions. And when you see that, and once you read through the report, and there's things in the report that you should be disgusted by, you start to think, well, what does this mean for Antonio Brown? What does this mean for the National Football League? And also, if these allegations are true, you hope the victim is getting the support and the help that she needs if these accusations are in fact true. And we don't know if they're true or not. What is being accused and what is being said of right now is that the first alleged act happened in June of 2017, where Antonio Brown allegedly exposed himself and kissed the trainer without her consent. The second act allegedly happened a month later. The trainer by the name, her name is Brittany Taylor. She accuses of Brown of performing sexual acts on her without her knowledge or her consent. So those are the first two alleged acts. Then number three occurred on May 2018 where Antonio Brown allegedly raped Brittany Taylor. When you read some of the messages, when you read the report, it's absolutely frightening and it's absolutely horrific. However, there's two sides to every story, of course, in a he said, she said. And this is a civil matter right now. Brown's camp denies all allegations. I even saw Drew Rosenhaus on ESPN yesterday, and he referred to the situation multiple times as a money grab. I also saw a Twitter account that you may be familiar with, Incarcerated Bob, over the weekend. Before this happened, before this report was published, Incarcerated Bob had an exchange from, I would imagine, a Twitter user, or it was actually someone on Instagram who we don't know the identity of, that was direct messaging Antonio Brown saying that they had video that he needed to see that could paint Brittany Taylor in a not positive light and show that she's lying. That occurred over the weekend, that video that surfaced. I didn't see it until Tuesday night, and I would imagine many people didn't see it until Tuesday night when we saw the report of what Brown is being accused of, because you would think, especially with the way that news carries in sports, that that video would have been viral and would have gone viral over the weekend, but that was not the case to my knowledge. So here we go again, where you have another NFL star, where we don't know what actually happened, but it's putting the NFL, the Patriots, in a negative spotlight. And the question is, what does the NFL do from here? Because I can't take a side yet in terms of AB is guilty, AB is innocent. We need more facts to arrive, and we need to find out more about this situation. Because, hey, some may say AB and jump to conclusions, may say he's guilty. Some may say he's innocent. Others may say, let's see how this plays out. But as you know, it's no longer innocent until proven guilty. Most of the time now in the court of public opinion and how the NFL responds to this and how fans want this to be handled, it's guilty until proven innocent. And this is a situation where you could say, well, the Pats did this to themselves by taking a risk on AB. Well, if you're going to say that, I think you need some context in this. It's fair to say in terms of you knew you were bringing in a player that came with many risks. However, for Oakland, too, it was a similar thing, and you knew that you were taking a player who came with a lot of baggage. However, when that happens, and when most of these issues have been him just not showing up for work, which I don't want to treat as that being lightly, because in terms of football, it's very serious, but compared to this situation, it pales in comparison. Other situations were him getting into fights with Big Ben or the helmet. Those things, they're important. They get talked about. And if it was something along those lines of the news on Tuesday that were an infraction similar to something football related, then it would be fair to say, hey, Oakland got what was coming to them and the Patriots as well. However, something like this, you could have never predicted. And it's extremely ugly. And it puts the Patriots in a situation. What do you do as there's a game coming up on Sunday? Because this isn't in the offseason when you have the luxury to let due process play out because there's no pressure of a game that is upcoming. Now, let me be abundantly clear. The Patriots don't need Antonio Brown to defeat the Miami Dolphins. So maybe they wait until next week to decide how they are going to proceed and make Brown inactive and say he wasn't ready in terms of the playbook. Maybe that's one action they want to take. Or maybe another course of action will be the NFL steps in and puts him on the commissioner's exempt list. And the NFL takes it a case-by-case basis and makes it up as they go. I was reading one report, though, from one of the NFL reporters that stated that the NFL has never, to their knowledge, has never placed someone on the commissioner's exempt list via a civil matter with which this is currently ongoing. So with all that being said, and digesting all that information that I threw at you, I want to know what you think the Patriots, what the NFL should do. Should Antonio Brown be allowed to play on Sunday because it is innocent until proven guilty? Or in the culture that we are now, where it's guilty until proven innocent, should the NFL say you're not playing? Or if the NFL doesn't say that, should the Patriots sit Antonio Brown? After thinking this over, and like I said, I don't know what is true in this case. I don't know what is false in this case. I don't know if Antonio Brown is guilty. I don't know if he's innocent. However, I do think it would be an awful look to have him play on Sunday. With this news and what we have seen and what we have heard, even though it's not crystal clear, I think you're sending a really bad message putting him on the field on Sunday. And I would have to imagine that the NFL doesn't want him on the field on Sunday. So maybe coming up on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, the NFL will intervene and will say, we're placing him on the commissioner's exempt list until we gather the facts, until we launch our own investigation, where the alleged victim, Brittany Taylor, she's actually getting married. And then I think she's going to cooperate with NFL investigators. So I believe the NFL will err on the side of caution. Because how many times before have we seen in the past the NFL go light on a punishment and then they are embarrassed, whether it's the Ray Rice video or other incidents that we've seen in the National Football League. So this one, it's tricky because it's in season, and we've seen other cases handled in season, but where it may differentiate from Tyreek Hill, that was in the offseason. So the timetable has to be accelerated, has to be moving quickly, and the NFL has to make a quick decision. And they could let Antonio Brown play this Sunday. I don't think that reaction, the NFL cares so much about the public perception, I don't think that would be met in a positive reaction. So if I'm the NFL, I would go to the Patriots and I would say, we're going to put him on the exempt list. And we will reevaluate this and we will try to move as quick as possible while doing a thorough investigation. I don't think the Pats are going to cut him until we know more in this situation. And they're going to probably ask him about it. Supposedly they were not aware of this prior to signing him. And depending on what Antonio Brown says, that could decide his future in New England. And maybe the Antonio Brown era, just like it did in Oakland, we will never see him play a game. I'm not going to go that route yet because we need to know more of the facts. But it's definitely something that is on the table and is a realistic possibility. Will he see the field this year? I don't know. But for now, the NFL should err on the side of caution and they should say, we need to process more information. We need to get the facts in our investigation. We're going to do a fair investigation for the NFL, for the Patriots, for Antonio Brown, and we want to hear what the alleged victim has to say. And then gathering on what those facts are, a decision will happen and a decision will occur. The question is, do you, while that decision is going to happen, do you let him play or do you sit him? I think that the NFL should take the pressure off the Pats, take the decision away from the Pats, which the team's like in this case, and sit Antonio Brown for the time being. What say you? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Should Antonio Brown be playing on Sunday versus the Miami Dolphins? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelbin for Amy. We'll take a timeout and be back right after these short messages.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, let's hit up the phones. Should Antonio Brown be playing on Sunday? 855-212-4CBS. I believe that the NFL should put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and then, depending on the results of that investigation, that will determine if he plays or does not play for this upcoming season. Let's start it off with Kevin. He's first up with Zach Gelb on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself, brother?
Doing fantastic.
Yes, I believe that you are right. He should be on the exempt list. I mean, but it's a tricky situation here. I mean, why did she come back twice more after the first initial reaction, you know?
To be fair, it's one of those situations where, yes, it's a he said, she said, like we said. Let's say if she is in fact telling the truth, it's tough to then victim blame or victim second guess on how she handled this situation. Maybe she wanted to give him another chance. Maybe she believed in him because there was a prior relationship, a prior situation. I don't know why you would go back if something did happen the first time. But also, if I was in that situation, I don't know how you would process that, to be fair.
One time or another, and I couldn't go back a second time. I actually ran away from the situation after it happened the first time. And that's why I don't understand. I mean, she went back, you know what I'm saying, not a second time, but a third time also. And then a third time, supposedly, that's when it really happened. You know, I mean, if it really did happen, he should never be allowed to play football again.
Not only that, he should be in a jail cell. If this did happen, he should be in a jail cell. And then, to be fair, on the other side, if it didn't happen, then she should be held accountable too. I remember I covered something actually when I was in college. There was a football player. His name was Praise Martin Aguike. And he got kicked off the Temple football team, got kicked out of the university, and he was accused of raping a female. And it never happened. Never happened. Now, there's many cases where people rape someone or accuse people of raping someone. It did happen. There's other cases when it's not true. But in this case, in such a public setting, if I'm the NFL, without knowing for sure, I would not let him on the field. Because you can't run that risk of if it is true and then you let him play and something else comes out, a video, other information, you look really foolish. Let's go to Mel in Oregon. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. Mel, how are you?
Well, real good, Zach. Thanks for taking my call. I love Amy Lawrence. I think she's the best sports announcer that there is. And, you know, you do a good job, too. But thank you for your show. I really think that it would be good if he didn't play. Might help him, but it just seems like with everything, you know, his history, it does point that this might be true. And, you know,
how so? Just wondering.
Well, it's just that when you see these outward, I've been around long enough, when you see these outward signs of someone being antisocial and anti-authority, it's usually because of something deeper that is concerning that soul or that person. I know that because that's happened to me. And so you lose control. You've got something in there that you know, is bothering you and you try to take it out in ways that aren't appropriate. And so I think, to me, just as a, you know, looking at that, it points, and also I really have a problem with guys getting involved with this and letting them off. I just loathe that and trying to make it light of it. I loathe it. Why is it that all the people I know and all the people I've ever known have never been involved with anything like this or being accused of it? You know, and so there's something there. And, you know, yeah, he should not be on the field.
Mel, appreciate the phone call. And I remember when the elliptical video was released and we were breaking it down. And when I watched it, I said, something's not right with him mentally. He just didn't sound right on that video. Now, does that mean he raped someone? No, it doesn't. But it's a pattern of behavior that is highly questionable. Now, there's a difference in not showing up to work or trying to get yourself off a team and raping someone. But sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. And once again, right now, we truly don't know what happened, so it's tough to jump to conclusions in this case. Maybe there will be more information that comes out that makes you change your opinion. You read the report, it doesn't look good for him. You read the lawsuit, it doesn't look good for him. And then you see other videos that surface, and you got to kind of weigh how you factor that into the decision. I saw there was a thread of some videos of him actually cuddling with the alleged victim, and it looked like they were having a jovial time. So how do you weigh that into the situation? Does it mean that it was consensual? Possibly. Does it mean that it wasn't? Possibly as well. Marcus in Detroit, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Marcus, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, man? Great job filling in, brother.
Thank you.
I hate to sound callous about this whole situation, but I have a hard time punishing someone because of someone else's allegations when they're years old, for one. And this is an intelligent woman who is going through and listening to all the things that are going on around the country, with these movements and different things. And then all of a sudden, since this guy is going through something, she kind of piles on. I just don't feel like, you know, if you've been assaulted by a man, that you go back to this man two times. And I'm not saying, I don't want to be judge and jury, because it could be true. I don't know. I find it hard to believe, and I don't want to blame the victim here if it did happen and she went back to him again and again. But if someone does something to you and you go back to them, the message you're sending to that person is that you were okay with what went on.
Or maybe she was intimidated. Maybe she had fear because of what happened and she didn't know how to separate herself from the relationship. I'm just throwing out an idea because, once again, I can't get in that mindset of if it did happen, how you would handle it. Sure, it's easy for us to say you would never go back. You would call the police, but there could be a fear element to it. And also, there's sometimes you just try to deny the situation ever occurred and you never want to admit it. And maybe that's why it took a while for her to process a lawsuit. Just throwing the other side of it, but you bring up a point where it seems as if you want to err on the side of how it is in the legal system of innocent until proven guilty, which, as you know, like we said earlier, that's not how it is publicly now, but that's how it is in a court system. Because you could get sued for anything. You know, civilly, I could file a lawsuit against you. And it doesn't mean that necessarily the act happened, but it also doesn't necessarily mean the act didn't happen. So it's a tricky situation right here. And that's why we're asking the question, and you wonder, well, does the NFL be in front of this and try to put themselves in a situation where they take themselves out of it right now until they get more information, where you have them off the football field? Or do you let it just be status quo, let him play, and if more information comes out that you need to rethink that decision, then you could pull him? So it's a difficult situation, But with the NFL and how much they care about public perception and how much they got burned by this in the past, I would be surprised if he's on the field Sunday.
Yeah, but they burned themselves.
No question. Trust me, I'm not excusing the NFL. They have thrown up on themselves in many of these situations.
Yeah, I just don't want to see a guy punished for something he didn't do. Unfortunately, if I got in trouble, I wouldn't lose my job or my ability to earn a paycheck until the legal process took its course and maybe I was incarcerated or whatever. And the other part of this is I think that if it is untrue, that this lady should be incarcerated for whatever length of time he would have been incarcerated if it was true. I just think that this is, you know, I'm obviously I'm only going by the premise that it's not, because my belief is I can't see a person going back to the situation again over and over. Plus, I saw a couple of videos today that showed them hanging out together.
Yeah, we just mentioned that a little bit right before we took your phone call. So it's another thing that puts it in a situation of a he said, she said. So do you act now or do you say we're going to hold off and gather the facts? There's a commissioner exemplist for a reason. With the uncertainty here in season, with how much of a public sport this is and how much reaction this is and how people care what the message is that is being sent, even if you think it's not right that he gets suspended because he has not been convicted of anything yet, I just have a feeling I think it's the right decision to hold off, talk to her, don't let him play, and you try to make a decision as thorough but as also quick as possible. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We'll head out to Minnesota, Maryland, Detroit, Honolulu, Hawaii, and Pennsylvania next. We'll get to Jamal, Tom, Cornell, Rich, and Tom in the next segment.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb in for Amy. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll go around the National Football League, talk Antonio Brown as well with Steve Berline, the longtime NFL analyst and the former NFL quarterback. Let's take a look at some of the Week 2 games. It will get started tonight, actually. Buccaneers at the Panthers. This is a quarterback battle of what's going to happen. You have the established Cam Newton, who has won an MVP before, but we're wondering what he will be coming off this shoulder injury. And can he return to resemble the quarterback that once won the MVP? For Jameis Winston, who had 3 picks last week, this is your do-or-die year. This is either float or sink. You have Bruce Arians, a tremendous offensive mind, someone I respect greatly. And is Jameis Winston going to get franchise tagged at the end of the year? Will he get an extension? Same questions being asked for Marcus Mariota in a similar boat, 1-2 in the draft. And Mariota looked good last weekend, as the Titans did defeat the Cleveland Browns going away by 30 points. Jameis Winston, the complete antithesis. So, for Winston, you got to start moving in the right direction. Cardinals at Ravens. Very slow first 3 quarters for the Cardinals. Eventually walk away with the tie against the Lions. Kyler Murray, Week 2. This will be a fun game, even though it probably was the one that was circled a few months ago. Because who could have predicted that Kyler Murray would have been going number 1 and the Cardinals would have moved on from a coach and a quarterback? But that's where we are. And then for the Ravens, I would say Lamar Jackson was probably the biggest winner from Week 1 in the National Football League season, where he was dominant. That connection to Hollywood Brown, Ravens defense was good. I get it was against Miami, but it was encouraging to see what Lamar Jackson did. Now, I'm not totally sold that we will habitually see this from Lamar Jackson. I've always been someone that said he deserves the opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this National Football League, but we need to see what he does. Week one, got a big check plus. Week two, should get a check plus as well. You're going up against a bad Arizona team. Remember, this is the T-Sizzle game, Terrell Suggs, as the longtime Raven is now on the Arizona Cardinal. He's on the Arizona Cardinals, so you have some storylines here, but really the play is centered around the quarterbacks. And for Lamar Jackson, what he needs to understand, and anyone that questioned the way he can throw the football, he showed signs on Sunday that he can. It comes down to longevity for Lamar Jackson. Can he protect himself? Can he know when to throw the football out of bounds? And will he know when to slide? That plus the way he throws the football are the things that are really going to evaluate him. Which, by the way, let me let you guys in on a little secret. And this is totally out of nowhere, but it's just because of what's happening with my computer right now to the right of me. My computer just randomly logged off. And our company has been having nightmare issues this past week where our entire email was shut down. Our email has been like the Miami Dolphins last Sunday, where we got hacked. There was no access to it. And now this computer in front of me, we just finally learned, right? Chris, you were telling me during the break that we just got the email back?
That's right.
Okay, that's breaking news from Chris Thomas. So we got the email back. Now the computer to my right logged out of my Twitter, logged out of the NFL schedule that I had adjacent to me, even though I have the games on a piece of paper in front of me. And now it's configuring window updates. So this must be something that's planned on the computer. So it looks like we're good. Maybe we didn't get hacked again. That's at least encouraging. But I'm seeing that the computer to my right is configuring window updates, and it's 30% complete.
Take about 6 hours to finish that update.
Right? You would think we're doing a live show, and when there's other shows that don't broadcast out of here, when they broadcast in a remote location, that's when they would update the computers. Not right in the smack of the show.
Thinking, my good friend, ZG. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's being executed to the fullest extent sometimes.
I will say, though, the computer is done configuring updates, and now it's starting Windows back up. So maybe you were wrong. We'll see. Because I went into another room, and I turned on the computer and did the same thing, starting Windows up again, and that computer never turned on. So we'll continue to provide updates on that. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, where not only do we break down football, we also break down the computer problems in our company.
That's right.
If you have any suggestions on how to better protect our email, 855-212-4CBS. Moving along, Colts at the Titans. I said this for the last month or two, that Tennessee may be better than what people think they are. And right before the Texans traded for Laremy Tunsil, the Titans were actually my pick to win the AFC South. Tennessee destroyed the Browns on Sunday. And Baker Mayfield threw not one, not two, but three interceptions. Good performance week one by Tennessee. They had the Colts going into their building on Sunday. The Colts got off to a slow start, showed fight late, almost won the game against the Chargers. That game did go into overtime. I think this could be a close game. I do. And can Tennessee continue the magic from a week ago? Jags at the Texans. Unfortunate news for the Jaguars. Nick Foles. It was something we discussed going into the year. Can he survive a 16-game regular season, never playing 16 games in his NFL career per season? And unfortunately, week one suffers the injury, going to be out for a while. Gardner Minshew, the former, I believe he went to ECU prior to Washington State. I want to say Gardner Minshew went to ECU prior to Washington State, if we could look that up. But I did interview him last year when he was on Mike Leach's squad for Washington State. He's a rookie quarterback now. He has that mustache. Very, very, very interesting mustache, and now he will be an NFL starting quarterback. And Chris confirms that He did go to ECU prior to Washington State. So you have Gardner Minshew. What will he look like on Sunday going up against the Texans? Who? What a heartbreaking loss that was. Where Deshaun Watson, and I hate to keep on patting myself on the back here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Where when you say you hate doing it, you actually love doing it. But with Deshaun Watson, leading into the draft, people questioned him. And I never understood the criticism for Deshaun Watson. Now, I didn't think Patrick Mahomes was the best quarterback in that draft. And he's been the best quarterback, tossing 50 touchdowns a year ago. And we've seen what he was able to do the other day, even getting banged up a little bit. But when people are saying Mitch Trubisky is the best quarterback in this draft, I said, why isn't it Deshaun Watson? I always thought it was Deshaun Watson. And if you're a Bears fan, I would guarantee you much rather have Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes than Trubisky, who you traded up from 3-2 with the 49ers to snag. So you have Deshaun Watson going up against Gardner Minshew. I get the Jaguars have a good defense. This is a game, though, that the Texans should win, and they should win going away. But with their offensive line problems, even since adding Tunsil, this isn't about Watson and his level of play on the field. It's going to be, can they protect him? And if they're able to protect him, they should win the division. If not, it opens the door up for Tennessee. Vikings at the Packers. Vikings win week one. Packers win week one. Can Rodgers make it two in a row? Will Kirk Cousins have a big week? This is two defenses. We knew the Vikings defense is very good. The Packers defense showed us a lot of signs of improvement last week against the Chicago Bears. So I think that's going to be another close NFC North game. That's going to be probably decided by 3 points. Seahawks at the Steelers. Big one for the Steelers. Coming off the embarrassing loss to the New England Patriots, they're only able to score 3 points on offense. Steelers, this is a big-time one on Sunday. I get it's early in the season. You don't want to start your year off 0-2, clearly. You got to beat the Seahawks. The Steelers are home. Seahawks have a very good quarterback, a great quarterback in Russell Wilson. They acquired Jadeveon Clowney. However, when that defense got torched last week by the Pats, it's Tom Brady playing. And I get you have Russell Wilson, who is a great quarterback, but the weapons offensively in the receiving game aren't there for Seattle. And I question them. So if this defense for the Steelers or secondary gets shredded again this week, it's one thing to have success with Russell Wilson, but with the way that this receiving core is, the Steelers should have some success. And the bottom line is Big Ben has to play better, and they have to win the game. If they don't win the game 0-2, that's a disaster start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chiefs at the Raiders. I was very impressed with the Raiders week one, and I love how Derek Carr handled the Antonio Brown stuff after the game, saying he wishes him the best. He was a lot more classier than I would have been if I was Derek Carr. And then he wanted to talk about his guys. The tight end who had to go through a bunch of problems off the field in Waller. And then the spectacular play from Tyrell Williams. A little bit of a tough challenge when you have Kansas City coming in. No Tyreek Hill in this game. Mahomes not 100%. Can the Raiders continue magic 2 weeks in a row? Saints at Rams could be the game of the week. We all know how fun this game was twice last year. It will be nonstop, chatter. Pre-game shots of how last year's NFC title game did end. And it would be very, very fitting if a pass interference has to be reviewed and that determines the outcome of this game. And it would really be something if it goes against the New Orleans Saints. I hate to do that to Saints fans because you guys have been through a lot the last 2 years with the Minneapolis miracle and then the garbage no call last year. But it would be really ironic if that did happen on Sunday. The Rams win the game because of a pass interference call that is reviewed. But Drew Brees, that was just classic Drew Brees at the end of that game, getting the victory over the Houston Texans. Eagles at Falcons. Eagles were getting clobbered early on by the Redskins. Wentz, Deshaun Jackson, hookup not once but twice. They get the victory. The Falcons, what a disappointment Atlanta was. I thought Atlanta was going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to back off them yet. But you'll have a lot of people jumping off that bandwagon if they have another performance where they're a no-show. And if they start off the year 0-2, you're going to get a lot of fire Dan Quinn talk. With the Falcons, they played the Eagles before a few times in recent memory. It comes down to red zone execution. Because every game they've been there in the red zone, in the playoffs, they could not convert. And then to open up the season a year ago, they couldn't convert as well. And finally, I'll give you one more. The Browns and the Jets. Browns 0-1, Jets 0-1. Jets have been hit with the injury bug. Williamson in the offseason. You have Quincy Enunwa going out with an injury. They just traded for Demaryius Thomas. This has been a Jets team that they've been banged up. They were up 16-0, blew it last week. Pathetic performance by the Jets. And you get a Cleveland team. Both these teams hungry for a first victory. But you get a Cleveland team that if the Jets start the year off 0-2, it is what it is. It's not the biggest surprise in the world if you would have told me before the year started that the Jets would start 0-2. And the Jets should be improved, but there weren't high expectations with the Jets. With the Browns, there are high expectations. And there are going to be a lot of people rooting against Cleveland because of the polarizing characters like Odell and Baker Mayfield. If you start the year off 0-2, this will be the chatter. Baker's not ready for the moment. Odell's not a winner. And they shouldn't have given the job to Freddie Kitchens. You could avoid most of those headaches if you get a win this week. Won't be easy, though, going on the road. This game last year, Jets looked the better team at time. Then you had Tyrod Taylor get hurt. And in came Baker Mayfield. And they did win the game. So I expect it to be another close one. So give me your biggest thoughts going into week two. If you want to preview a game or two that we left out or even jump on one that we touched, grab a phone line, 855-212-4CBS. It's Zach Gelb in for A-Law After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I have to get to this story out of New York. So yesterday was the 18th year anniversary of 9/11. And I'll never forget where I was. I was in elementary school, Rolling Hills Elementary School on Long Island, New York. And I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what happened at the time, right in the moment, because you're a kid in elementary school. And back then, kids my age, that age, didn't have cell phones. Now every elementary school child has a cell phone. But I was in an elementary school class as a student, and my teacher, Ms. Crompierre, she got a phone call as the second tower, as the second tower was hit. And her father was actually working in one of the towers. And I remember the phone ringing, and you saw a pretty exuberant, positive, happy teacher go from a happy mood to instantly ghost white face, dropping the phone, running out of the room. Think about that. If you're father's in the building, that's how you would react. And at that moment, even as a youngster, I knew something was wrong. I remember we got sent home early from school that day, and I walked into the basement of my house, and we had a huge TV. And the first thing I saw was a video broadcast, a news broadcast of the plane going into one of the towers. And I remember sitting there with my mom and my dad the entire day watching the news coverage and it being explained to me and us learning about more details. I later found out years later, as that was a bit redundant, but I found out years later that my dad was actually supposed to be in one of the towers on that day for a work event. However, his work event was canceled a year in advance. But he was supposed to be in one of the towers on the, I believe the highest floor was Windows of the World. That's where he was actually supposed to be on. So that would have changed my life drastically. Would have grown up without a father. But on that day, many people, as you know, and you get emotional even thinking about it, but people around the country, through many acts of terrorism, lost fathers, mothers, brothers, daughters, sons, sisters, aunts, uncles, and innocent people were robbed of their lives. However, in sports, and you also have to thank the first responders, but sports played a huge role in being distracted from it and the healing process. I remember the Mike Piazza home run against the Braves. Powerful moment. Joe Andruzzi, whose brothers are all firefighters, Andruzzi running on the field, Pat's Jets with the American flag. Powerful moment. His brother's getting honored before the game. And Joe once told me a story how it was one of his brother's first day on the job, and he survived getting out of the tower by a few inches. So extremely emotional, and I now live right by the Freedom Tower. So I passed the Freedom Tower every day, and it was a very emotional day. I want to give credit to Pete Alonso, though. Pete Alonso of the Mets, long story short, wanted to make custom caps to honor the NYPD, Never Forget, FDNY, and the MLB, because of their stupid rules, said no. So he got custom cleats that had the message that were supposed to be on the cap, and he put them on the cleats and they wore them, and here's how Pete explained it.
I've just been really thankful and gracious for this opportunity. For me, this season has been an absolute fantasy for me. I just want to give back, and I want to help, and I don't just want to be known as a good baseball player. Hopefully, I want to be known as a good person. Unfortunately, there's a lot of red tape with Major League Baseball, and they kind of shot that idea down. And I think it's kind of sad that guys weren't allowed to. I mean, since that day, that the first game back, they kind of shut it down every single year since. I think that's really unfortunate. So a way to kind of get around that was the cleats.
Pete Alonso, someone you could easily root for. Having one of the best rookie seasons ever, will win NL Rookie of the Year, has been a stud for the New York Mets, and as good as a baseball player he is, he wants to be a better human being. So a very nice gesture by Pete Alonso. And by the way, last night, the Mets won 9-0. They had 9 runs and 11 hits on 9/11. Pete Alonso, a fantastic job, an athlete that just gets it, and someone that's truly a role model. And yesterday being 9/11, once again, we remember all the innocent people who lost their lives, and we also thank the people who were the first responders and that dropped everything to go save others.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I got 4 interesting stories for you. One on Kevin Durant, one on Kobe Bryant, one on LeBron James, and one on the Ohio State University. Can I say the anymore? Did it get trademarked? We'll find out in just a second. You see this Kobe Bryant stuff, Chris Thomas? You see this Instagram post the other day by any shot?
I did not. Enlighten me.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I guess you weren't really paying attention on Twitter. You really didn't see this?
I don't know how I missed it. I did, though.
Dave. Let's see if erudite Dave Ettinger was cognizant of this Kobe Bryant photo.
I believe he's coaching some girls' basketball, and a girl decided to go to a dance recital instead
of. All right, so you got the gist.
I did see this.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't know
sure.
That was what you were talking about.
In
between my nap and the gym. Oh, yeah, I remember possibly seeing this.
He also put out the one about his basketball team that came back and they scored 100 points on their opponents.
Oh, that one I didn't see.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Look
how the world turns.
When was that?
That was like 2 days ago.
Okay.
His daughter's basketball team, they lost the championship, came back the next year, beat the team by 100 points.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
I did not see that story. So maybe I should not chastise you if I'm not going to see everything going in Kobe Bryant and his illustrious coaching career with seventh graders. I wonder if he runs a triangle offense, by the way. You think he calls up Phil and they run the triangle offense?
There's no Derek Fisher to facilitate with them.
Oh, okay. Maybe Derek Fisher could be the assistant coach. NBA head coaching career didn't work out all that great. I think he's coaching actually in the WNBA, Derek Fisher. I want to say, and I don't know if it's with the Liberty, but I remember he was coaching somewhere in the WNBA.
LA Sparks.
So, LA Connection could be a possibility in the offseason. Get Derek on the staff. Maybe do a little training. So Kobe Bryant, he posted Instagram where every girl on the Instagram is crying, looks miserable. Even the two other parents look crying and miserable, and Kobe looks miserable. So Kobe wrote, "Here's our fourth place winner's picture, LOL. Six of the kids in the picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The seventh player, not in the pick, missed this game for a dance recital. So that should tell you where her focus was at this time, meaning she enjoyed dance more than ball, which is fine. Now she eats, sleeps, and breathes the game. So from this original group of seven, we've added a player 2 years younger, sixth grade now, a player whose team in our area folded, and a player whose family moved here from Tennessee. The beauty of coaching is growing the players from the ground up. That journey continues. Mamba ambassador is the hashtag." Seems like he's criticizing, right? The girl who decided to go to the dance recital, where he says, meaning she enjoyed dance more than b-ball, which is fine. Now she eats, sleeps, and breathes the game. So maybe Kobe was being critical and then giving her some words of praise for changing that decision. I don't know. That tone came off to me as he was trying to throw the girl under the bus. Kobe says, and for the record, I was just explaining why she wasn't in the picture. Seems as if he's backpedaling a little bit after some criticism. No?
We've officially lost all touch with reality after those comments right there.
Seventh grade basketball, not a single kid is crying. I understand being upset. I wouldn't want a participation trophy either. I understand being upset. You can't tell me one of these kids, and they're taking a picture, doesn't say cheese and smile a little bit. Everyone crying. So Kobe Bryant, coaching career.
Coach of Mamba the year.
Mamba out. let's get to LeBron. You see, he tried to file Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. He tried to get that approved, by the way. It was denied. Talking about trademarks that were denied as well. You ever think the word "the" can be trademark? The Ohio State University tried to get "the" trademark. They were denied. So I guess they could still refer to themselves as the Ohio State University, but they won't have exclusive trademark rights on the word "the." Surprise, surprise. Should Taco Tuesday or "the" and the Ohio State University be trademarked?
Of course not. This is ridiculous. Taco Tuesday. Why does LeBron have ownership over Taco Tuesday?
He's made Taco Tuesday pretty famous.
Yeah, but you imagine all these restaurants and all these places who use that and have to go ask Mr. LeBron James for permission to use. No, get
hey,
out
I have
of
a happy
that.
Hour in New York City. I want to serve a few Coronas and tacos. Hey, LeBron, can I use Taco Tuesday?
Listen, I like LeBron James, and he's great, but get out of here with this.
Okay. I had no problem with him trying to file for
Taco Tuesday. Oh, yeah, it doesn't hurt
Taco
to try,
Tuesday.
But, you know. Is he, like, all upset that it was rejected? Do we know?
I don't know. Who knows? Probably because he got something denied. He's probably upset. And he's going to find a way to try to get the trademark decision reversed, possibly. Which one should you be able to trademark? If you had to pick one. Taco Tuesday going to LeBron or the going to the Ohio State University?
I mean, I'd have to say Taco Tuesday just because who's trademarking the word "the" or "the"?
The.
I mean, come on. That's just outlandish.
You're right.
Now, I think the real burning question here, though, is, Zach, do we get a Taco Tuesday reference in Space Jam 2?
Ooh. Could that be part of the plot? I'm going to say you definitely get a Taco Tuesday reference in Space Jam 2.
Definitely.
That's LeBron James. Forget the basketball. He's known for Taco Tuesday now. Not winning a few championships and being one of the greatest basketball players of all time. When I think of LeBron James, I think Taco Tuesday.
Instead of at the end of the first one when they give him the special water drink and that helps him win the game, instead they go to
tacos.
They go to a taco joint.
And all of a sudden LeBron goes from being down and out to saying, Taco Tuesday!
I feel like I should bring him on vacation with me.
Right?
Yeah. He'll be out there. We're going to have plenty of tacos later.
Well, hopefully your kid isn't wearing to get back to the conversation last segment, hopefully your kid isn't wearing a Golden State Warriors jersey and try to run up to LeBron James for an autograph, and maybe LeBron James would be a little bit nicer than DeMarcus Lawrence. Who knows?
I would hope so.
Especially around vacation with him. And then finally, Kevin Durant did an interview with the Wall Street Journal. It was in an article. He said a small details in the article, perhaps telling he hasn't been back to the Bay Area since June since the injury, and he has no plans to return. His staff cleaned out his apartment in San Francisco, packed up the furniture, the memorabilia, including the MVP trophies that sat on the mantle. He doesn't know when he'll return again. That's a boss move. Leave, have everyone pack up your stuff, and then say you're never going to return again. He also explained that he came to Golden State wanting to be a part of the group, wanting to be part of the family, and definitely felt accepted. But he did feel he would never be one of those guys that didn't get drafted there. So Steph and guys like Klay Thompson and Draymond Green got drafted there, and those guys are going to get a lot more, be a lot more in favor to the fan base. Where if I'm KD, that just shows you everything you need to know. He's so sensitive about that he's going to Brooklyn because Brooklyn doesn't have a history. He'll be the number one guy, and if he wins, he'll get all the praise. The praise won't be going to maybe KD and Steph and Draymond. It will all go to him. And then he called OKC fake for the way that they handled his departure, because some people wouldn't talk to him ever since he left. All I'm going to say, and KD, you say fake. What is fake is making a burner account to crap talk the organization instead of putting your real account on it. Put your name on it, all right? Coming on back, talking Antonio Brown, Gelb and Fraylo after hours, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.